إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. الله سبحانه وتعالى in the opening ayat of his book mentioning his book, Allah سبحانه وتعالى said, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألف لام ميم ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began with the huruf al-muqatta'at, the meaning of which is known only to him. And then he said, this, ذلك الكتاب, that is a book. And there is a whole discussion on why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say هذه الكتاب, he said ذلك الكتاب. He did not say this is the book, he said that is the book. And there is a whole, in terms of Arabic grammar and how something is given more importance and so on, we will not go, this is not a tafsir class, so we will not go into all of that. But I want to draw your attention. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, in this book there is no doubt, and hudal lil muttaqeen. In this book, in the Quran, there is hidayah for the muttaqeen, for the people who have taqwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in another place in the Quran called the Quran hudal lil nas. He said there is hidayah for all of mankind. So how do we put these two together? If there is hidayah for all of mankind, then why does Allah say hudal lil muttaqin? And why is the hidayah for muttaqin? How do you put these two together? The muttaqin are nas, the muttaqin are also humans. So when it was said hudal lil nas, then where is the need and what is the meaning of saying hudal lil muttaqin? My understanding of how these two ayat come together, and that is why there is no conflict in the Quran, one ayah explains another ayah, how these two ayat come together is like saying that here is this college. Who is this college for? For anybody. But who can study in that college? The one who gets admission. Say it's a college for whatever, you know, medical college. So it's, who is it open to? Anybody. Open to anybody. But who can study and qualify as a doctor from this college? The one who gains admission into that college. So even though the college is available to you, it's available, it's an open college, it is the admission rules of the college do not say that this college is exclusively for people from Hyderabad. No, it doesn't say that. Anybody from anywhere can come. But the ones who will benefit from this college are only the ones who take admission into that college. So the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is for all of mankind. But the ones who will benefit from this book are the muttaqun. Not all of mankind. All of mankind will not benefit. Further dalil is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in several places in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about the fasiqun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about the rebellious people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allah will not guide them. Clearly, in Surah Tawbah and other places, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically mentioned, فَتَرَبَّسُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِ وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِ الْقَوْمَ الْفَاسِقِينَ. Allah said, go and wait for the amar of Allah. Let the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descend on your heads. And Allah does not guide the rebellious people. So very clear that the guidance is for the people who are the muttaqun. And clearly, in so many words, there is no guidance for those who are rebellious. Therefore, I want to remind myself and you that everything begins with the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything, all hidayah begins with the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first thing that I want to remind myself and I request you to remind yourself is, let us look at our attitude. Attitude is the foundation of all behavior. And behavior gives results. Why attitude? Because attitude drives behavior. And behavior drives results. Jannah is not for the people who know the most. Jannah is for the people who do the most. Jannah is not for the people who do the most. The first person to be thrown into the hellfire will be the alim who gained knowledge and who taught this knowledge for the sake of name and fame and money, not for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So obviously he is an alim, the biggest alim in the world, who was sent away into the hellfire forever and ever, Iblis. So ilm alone, just acquisition of knowledge, is not a guarantee for anything. It is the application of this knowledge. Now, that is the reason why the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain, they had the humility to take knowledge from wherever it came. They had the humility to take guidance and to take correction even from anywhere it came without asking any questions. Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, he said, anyone who teaches me anything is my sheikh. Anyone who teaches me anything is my teacher. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu is giving khutbah, Jum'ah, in the masjid. Amirul Mu'mineen, he is the king of the kingdom. He is the Amir of the Mu'mineen, he is the Khalifatul Muslimin. And in the khutbah, he talked about the issue of mahr. And he said, people are competing against each other in giving more and more mahr. And he said, this is not a good thing and there is no need to go overboard with regard to this. And you know, all of these are famous stories. I mean, I don't have to, anyone who has studied anything knows these stories. This woman stood up in the back. Old woman stood up in the back and she said, you are trying to make a rule when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not make this rule. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, let the man give in keeping with his, in what we have given him, in keeping with his status. And you are trying to stop that. What did this woman do? She interrupted the khutbah of the Amirul Mumineen, and on top of that of Umar ibn al-Khattab of all people, in front of the entire Masjid al-Nabawi. What did Umar ibn al-Khattab do? Did he say, shut up and sit down? Who are you women? I am the Amir of the Muslimin. Do I understand the Quran more, or do you understand the Quran more? Am I a student of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or are you a student? Did he say all of this? He did not say any of this. He stopped in mid-sentence. He listened to what she said. And then he said, that woman is right and Omar is wrong. Ajeeb, huh? Can you imagine this? Can you imagine this thing happening? The Sahaba took knowledge from wherever it came. They took correction from wherever it came. The reason I'm saying is, today we have developed a shaitan misguides people from the position that they are in. He does not move you from wherever you are. So if somebody is religious, shaitan will misguide him in the religion. He will not try to take the religious person into the discotheque, because he knows he will not go. I mean, there's no point in, trying to tell him, let's go have a drink. No, he will not, that person won't go. So what does shaitan do? Shaitan takes him away in his religion. He will produce kibr in him. He will make him the biggest and the most effective way of shaitan, of misguiding religious people, is to make them arrogant. Most effective way. Because it is the easiest thing to do. And it wipes out every good deed that you have done. At one shot, everything is clean. Your slate is absolutely clean. Produces kibr. In the heart you say, this man, what does he know? He can't even recite the Quran. My salah is also not valid behind him if I pray, because look at his tajweed. Look at his beard. You can't make out whether it is the shade of the sun or, I'm not saying that it is good to grow beards like that. No, let the beard look like a beard. Let it not look like you forgot to shave. But I'm just saying that irrespective of whether somebody has a beard or does not have a beard, or whether his beard is long or short or combed or uncombed, you have no right to look down on that person for that reason. That is the point I'm making. Maybe you got a beard like Wee Willie Winky or something, you're tripping over it. But that does not mean that your taqwa is in relation to the length of your beard. Nobody said this.
So shaitan twists and shaitan takes people astray from where they are. And kibar is one of the major things. The other big thing is this illusion of knowledge. Illusion of knowledge. Whereby you find people, if someone comes to them with some good advice. And many of our young friends are like this. May Allah protect them from shaitan. Someone comes to them with good advice, they will say, where is this written? Which kitab is it from? We say, if I say, for example, I met so-and-so sheikh and he said this. No, who is that sheikh? Why? Because in his mind, he already has a framework. And that framework is, I will take knowledge only if it comes from those people who I consider to be, within quotes, ulama. So if he is Salafi, he will take it only from Salafi ulama. If he is Tablighi, he will take it only from Tablighi ulama. So if he is a Salafi, and if an alim of Tablighi or an alim of some Hanafi alim said something and somebody quotes and says so and so said this, first question is, who is he? He does not say, what did he say? He said, who is he? He said, who is an alim? Oh, Tablighi, they are all misguided. We don't have to take anything from them. Ah, mashallah, alhamdulillah. No problem. And vice versa. I'm not saying this is only. And vice versa. The Tablighis and the Hanafis and the Shafi'is and so on. And alhamdulillah, I travel all over the world, so I meet all kinds of people. So he said that. Ah! Why must you quote only Ibn Baz for everything? Why must you quote only Al Uthaymeen for everything? You are Salafi Walama. We don't accept from them. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Let me remind you, this was not the attitude of the Salaf. People, you do not become Salafi by praying without your head covered, by growing your beard and not combing it. You become Salafi by following the Salaf. The Salafu Salihin. Who are they? The Sahaba of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. By following them in every aspect, in their akhlaq, in their manners, to begin with, before everything else. This is the advice that the mother of Imam Malik gave to her son. And she said, take from the akhlaq of Rabia before you take from his ilm. His ustad, he said, take from his manners first. Learn his akhlaq before you learn the knowledge. The point I'm saying is that not everything of tarbiyah, not everything of the way of acquiring knowledge will be written in any book. And I'll give you dalail, inshallah. The famous story, which we have heard many times and which we quote many times, of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma. When he memorized Surah Al-Baqarah, he took 12 years, and then he gave a big walima. He gave a big da'wat, for he slaughtered a camel and he invited all his friends for dinner. Right? For a meal. And then in the course of conversation, they asked him, they said, how come it took you so long to memorize one surah? He said, we had a system whereby we would take 10 ayat from Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and we would memorize those ayats. Then we would reflect on those ayats and we would discuss them. We would go to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for the tafsir of those ayats. He did not use the word tafsir in his narration, but that's what it means. To understand the ayats, we went to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then if there were any ahkam in those ayat, any orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we obeyed those orders. And only when we were satisfied with how we treated these 10 ayats, what have we got from this, then we would go and take the next 10 or the next ayat. Right? Now my point is, this methodology of approach to the Quran, in which book is this? Find me one hadith, one single hadith. Let it be daif, let it be one-legged, two-legged, whatever, right? Where Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam specified that this is the methodology of learning the Quran. This methodology is certainly not in the kalam of Allah. That much I will tell you. Certainly it's not in the Quran. Allah did not say take 10 ayat at a time and do this and this. There is not a single hadith where Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this is the way of learning the Quran. So now if Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu is sitting here and giving dars, yeah, put yourself, the whole point of trying to understand the deen is to put yourself in that position. Supposing instead of me, it is Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu sitting here and giving dars. May Allah give us that day when we see these people inshallah and we talk to them in Jannatul Firdausul A'la, where we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enter us bi ghairi hisab. Inshallah. So if Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu is discussing, is saying this, and we ask him and we say, Ya Shaykh, please explain to us how, he explains this is what we used to do. And you have some, enthusiastic person who says, no, but where is the dalil for this? Which book did you read? Can you understand? There is no need for a dalil for something which in itself is according to the Quran and the Sunnah. In this methodology which is being taught, is there any disobedience of Allah? No. So if you, and I can give you many examples like this. I can give you many examples of the methodologies of tarbiyah that were followed by our salaf, by the pious predecessors and by the scholars of Islam, which are not written anywhere. For example, one story which I have mentioned before. In 1997, when I went for Hajj, after Hajj I was in Masjid al-Nabawi, and I met Maulana Ahmad Lad Sahib, Hafizahullah, who is one of the prominent ulama of this country, of India, in Masjid al-Nabawi. And I made salam, and the process of when you meet an alim is, you ask him to give you some nasiha. So I asked him, I said, mujhe kuch nasihat farmaiye, he said, please give me some nasiha. And he said, do you know where we are sitting? I said, yes. He said, where are we sitting? I said, in Masjid al-Nabawi. He said, then listen very carefully. He said, the sahib of this khabar, he said, the man who is in this khabar, who is that? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, listen very carefully. A person who leaves a mustahab act. What is a mustahab act? An action which if you do will give you reward. But if you do not do it, then there is no punishment for it. Right? Mustahab is something. Mubah is something for which there is neither reward nor punishment. Mustahab is something for which there is a reward. But if you do not do it, there is no punishment involved. So, Maulana Ahmad Lad Sahib Rahmatullah said, Dan Bakatam, he told me, he said that if he leaves a mustahab action, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will prevent him from following a sunnah. Right? He said if a person leaves a mustahab action, Allah will deprive him of the benefit of following a sunnah. And he said if he leaves a sunnah, and Urdu mein, he said, agar koi shakhs mustahab cheez ko halka samajh ke chhode, to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala usko sunnat ki ittiba se mahroom karenge. Now those who know Urdu, the word halka means what? Means light. Halka actually means light. And in this context, it means unimportant. Light. Halki cheez hai. Light thing. Something which has no significance, no consequence, no substance. So he said that if a person considers a mustahab action to be insignificant, unworthy, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will deprive him of following a sunnah. And he said ke agar wo shakhs sunnat ko halka samajh ke chhode, to Allah ta'ala usko fard se mahroom karenge. He said, if a person leaves a sunnah, considering it to be unimportant, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will prevent that person from following a fard. And he said, agar koi shakhs fard ko halka samajh ke chode, to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala us shakhs ko iman se mahroom karenge. He said, if a person leaves a fard, considering it to be unimportant, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will prevent that person, he will deprive that person of iman itself, and he said, wo shakhs kufr par marega, he will die on kufr. Now, this is the nasihat being given by a sheikh to a person who goes to him as a student, as a sa'il. Now, point is, if someone says, where is it written in the Quran? Where is it written in the Quran that if you leave a mustahab action, then all of this will happen? And I will tell you where it is written. It is written in the ayah which I narrated for you in the beginning of this dars. And what is the ayah? ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Hidayat is only for the muttaqun. Who is the muttaqi? The muttaqi is the one whose attitude is the attitude of complete and total obedience and submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whose position is سَمَعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. I have heard and I will obey. We have heard and we will obey. That is the position of the muttaqi. Now take this dalil and apply it to the advice of this sheikh, this alim. Does it fit or does it not fit? A person who is leaving something in which there is good. What is mustahab? Mustahab is something which in which there is reward. But a person says, "Arey mustahab ich hai na, sunnat ich hai na." Main humare Urdu mein bolte hain. It's only a mustahab, only a sunnat. What is it? What is? Leave the fact whether it is mustahab or not mustahab. I am not going into the fiqh issue of the relative importance of something. What does it say about the attitude of that person with regard to the importance of the Nabi? What does it say about the attitude of that person with regard to the importance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Here is an action which is meritorious, which will give reward, and in the great mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, but if he leaves it, I will not punish him. This person therefore leaves it. What is his attitude about that reward then? If a person is deliberately leaving a mustahab, what does it say about that person's attitude about the reward from that mustahab? Yeah, I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. I don't need. Now, is that the attitude of an obedient person? Is that an attitude of a person of knowledge who understands the value of one good deed on the day of judgment? Or is that the attitude of someone who is so jahil? I don't care how many books he knows. I don't care whether he's Hafiz Quran or not. I don't care whether he's Hafiz of all the Siyasitta, all the books of Hadith. But I am saying that somebody who leaves deliberately leaves a mustahab action is the biggest jahil in the world, because he does not even understand the value of one good deed on the day of judgment. What kind of alim is this? Alim? This is jahil. On the day of judgment, one single good deed will be worth more than this entire universe and everything it contains. And that one good deed is available to you for free. For free. You smile at a brother, it is a hasana. It is a benefit. It is a good deed. It will be written in your book. You understand? Now, the point I am saying, here is this advice. So what shall we do with the advice? So a person who is deliberately leaving a mustahab action is demonstrating disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rebelliousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what is the natural consequence of that? And Allah knows best. Obviously, I will not mention names. But many of you are familiar with even the actual people involved. In our own lives, in our own community, we know people who left mustahab things. And then shaitan put doubts in their mind with regard to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, with regard to ahadith. And these overnight ulama, they started doubting hadith. And they started denying hadith. And then they went to the point of denying more and more ahadith. And they said, we are people of the Quran. And then they went to the extent of now not even praying salah, even though salah is there in the Quran. But shaitan told them, you see, salah means dua. You make dua, this is enough. So I said to one of them, then zakat means to purify yourself. So go have a bath. There's no need to give any charity. See where shaitan takes you. And therefore now a person who deliberately leaves salah, what did Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam say about this? Sahih hadith. وَمَنْ عَرَدَهَا فَقَدْ كَفَرَا. So did you see the whole sequence? Leaves the mustahab, then goes to leaving sunnah, then he leaves the fard itself, and then he is in kufr. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide them, may Allah bring them back into Islam, may Allah bring them back into the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let them not die on this fasid aqeedah on which they are. But the clarity and the correctness of this advice is visible in our own actions and our lives. And that is why in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave a higher level to the ittiba of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam than he gave to the ita'at of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The ita'at of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, atiullah wa atiur rasul, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this, always combine this two. The ita'at of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the boundary condition. If you do not obey Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you are out of Islam. That's a boundary condition. To enter Islam, you have to obey Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But what is the position of ittiba of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Fattabiuni yuhibbukumullah. Allah will love you. Allah will love you. وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. And he will forgive all your sins. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. The level of ittiba is even more higher. Why? Because a person who is doing ittiba, automatically he is doing the ita'at of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In any case, these two are not contradictory. You can't say, I'm doing ittiba, but I'm not doing it. No, if you're doing ittiba, automatically you're doing ita'at of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But now you have gone a step ahead. And why is it a step ahead? Because for the ittiba, there is no hukum. There is no hukum. The ittiba of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is no order. Do this, no. Ittiba is a sign of love. All those people who claim to be Ashiq Rasul must look at their own lives. And must see how much of ittiba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is there in their lives. Otherwise, they are not Ashiq Rasul, they are lying in the name of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you call yourself Ashiq Rasul and you are not following the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and if there is no ittiba of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in your lives, then you are lying in the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ittiba is higher because it's a manifestation, it's a expression of the love of somebody. You follow someone, you follow his ways, you imitate him only because you love him. He didn't tell you do it. You're doing it because you love him. You want to look like him. You want to walk and talk like him. And when you do that for the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah will love you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love you. And therefore, the beginning of all goodness is obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as I said, In the way of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you go into the area of tarbiyah, you will find many things which are not, the methodology is not written down in any book. And I gave you the example of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu. So I'm going right to the source. It is not written in any book. But why is it prescribed? How is it prescribed? It is prescribed by the ustad. Who is the ustad of Abdullah ibn Umar? Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Did Abdullah ibn Umar on his own, do you think they decided we'll take 10 ayat and not 11? We will do this, we'll do that. No. This is the methodology of teaching of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is not mentioned in any hadith. That does not mean anything. Even if it is not mentioned, it is the action of the sahaba, and the sahaba did not do things on their own. So therefore, this is something we take from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is the point I want to make, that when we get advice from our elders, don't fall into this trap of saying, who is it, who said it, which sect does he belong to. Don't fall into the trap of saying, which kitab is it written, in which book is this written. Listen to what has been said. Don't worry about who said it. Listen to what has been said. And alhamdulillah, if what is being said is according to the kitab and sunnah, if that thing has no disobedience of Allah in it, and if it is a matter of tarbiyah, then obey and follow that. Because in that there is guidance for you, inshallah. Don't argue with that. And even if you don't like to follow it, don't follow it, but don't start talking about it and don't start saying, no, it came from this one and that one and that one. Don't fall into this trap. That is the trap of shaitan. That is what led Shaitan into Jahannam. What led Shaitan into Jahannam was his ilm, was not lack of ilm. He argued with Allah. He thought he is so knowledgeable that he is going to argue with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. And that is what happens to people who get knowledge from books without tarbiyah. There is no tarbiyah, there is no upbringing, there is no understanding, there is no digestion. And that's why that knowledge sits in the middle of the chest like undigested food, good only for heartburn. Doesn't do any good to your body, doesn't do anything, it doesn't digest, it's just sitting like a lump. You can't sleep, you can't lie down, you can't sit, and it's giving you, you know, heartburn and problems. So let us focus on bringing ilm into our lives, on the amal. As I mentioned, nobody will enter Jannah on the basis of how much they know. They will enter Jannah on the basis of how much they did. And let us focus therefore on our own tarbiyah. Let us focus on the issue of saying, how can I apply and how can I make myself totally and completely obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِي هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Therefore, let us become muttaqoon, so that the hidayat of the Quran, the doors of the hidayat of the Quran will be open for us. We will gain admission into this college. Beyond other than which, there is no other place for guidance. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our hearts to His deen and to make it possible for us to understand His deen in the right spirit and to bring this deen into our lives in such a way that this becomes a source of mercy, a source of Allah's forgiveness and a entry into Jannah. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya rahman rahim.